Alan Greenspan was on Capitol Hill this week talking interest rates and the economy. At least that's what we think he was talking about, but that's not for us to decide. That's for you to decide. Yes, it's time once again to play our signature game, What Did the Fed Chief Say? A game where you'll be asked to translate the words of Alan Greenspan. The judge in our game is, of course, Fool Radio expert contributor Charlie Whelan, author of Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. He joins us from the NPR Bureau in Chicago. Charlie, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show, and you're not allowed to say good to be with you.
I'm very happy to be with you today, David.
Charlie, we're going to launch into our game in a minute, but first, we want to talk about Greenspan's latest comments. He said the economy was on, quote, reasonably firm footing, end quote, but went on to say that home prices in some local markets have climbed to, quote, unsustainable levels, end quote.
There was a fair bit in there about the housing market, and I think for the first time he also talked about some of the spillover or potential spillover effects of some kind of unsettlement in that market. So, for example, he talked about the collateralization of mortgages. So when you go out and get a home mortgage from Citibank or somebody like that, they don't sit on it and collect the payments for 30 years. It's going to be bundled with other mortgages and sold off as a security. Somebody's going to be buying mortgage-backed securities. So, of course, if you get some disruption to the housing market, it spills over into that market. And he also talked about the increasing tendency of folks to be able to buy properties with less money down, other kinds of things that are by and large good in most circumstances. You can now buy a house, for example, with an interest-only loan, so you're not actually paying down any equity. But if there's disruption to the market, some of these other institutions will suffer spillover effects.
Mm. And Charlie, Greenspan said that a national housing bubble, the subject of much discussion, is unlikely. Why did he say that?
Well, he said that there are certain markets where he thinks prices are unsustainable. So if you happen to be in one of those markets, whether it's a national bubble or not is largely irrelevant. The question is whether your house or, as he went on to say, your second or third house. I think one of the interesting things of the testimony is he, I think, argued that among primary residences, for people who buy the house and live in it, the chances of that market getting highly overheated are unlikely because in order to speculate, you've basically got to sell your house into this hot market, move somewhere else. It's an expensive, largely illiquid market. What he pointed to, and we've talked about this on the show in weeks past, is people going out and buying second and third homes. And that is a much more liquid market. You don't have to move in. In many cases, you don't have to put that much money down. And so when he sees excesses in those second and third properties, that's where I think he starts talking about the froth. And I also believe that that's the places where you're going to see the first sense of things coming unwound.
Mm. Charlie Greenspan also said he was surprised that mortgage rates have stayed so low. Should a Fed chief be surprised by low interest rates? Should he admit to being surprised by anything?
Well, I think that it's a sign of strength that he's willing to show some surprise. And I think if he actually tried to come up with an answer, he'd probably be at a loss. So he might as well express surprise because it was part of this larger point of falling long-term low interest rates. I mean, strikingly low interest rates. I think he talked about the long-term bond being at about 4%. And if you go back 6 or 8 months, everybody had thought that that interest rate had nowhere to go but up. And it is largely a conundrum in the face of rising short-term rates. We've had, I can't remember how many short-term increases on the part of the Fed, that you still see falling long-term interest rates. So I think that's a puzzle to just about everybody. And I haven't seen any cogent explanation for it from him or anybody else.
Hmm. And now on a completely unrelated note, and because we like to sometimes ask questions on the show that we know the answer to, Charlie Whelan, have you had lunch with the King of Jordan lately?
It was this afternoon, actually. I was just telling the engineer that I've never had a fillet of salmon with so many armed men looking on. But, you know, he actually had an interesting economic message. So he talked, obviously, about the Arab-Israeli situation, the terrorism, other things. But he mentioned that half of the population in the Middle East is 18 or under. and that much of the future of the region is going to be determined by whether those folks grow up with some significant economic opportunity. And if they don't, that becomes yet one more source of trouble. So I thought that was actually a very interesting economic angle on the region, and certainly not something that's gotten as much attention as the region's other challenges.
Mm. And does the king think there's a housing bubble?
I think the market for palaces has been largely stable, and he did not comment one way or the other.
Okay, and on that note, it's the moment that you've been waiting for. Turn up your radios, send the kids to grandma's, because you're about to hear the soothing tones of Alan Greenspan. How about a little music to kick us into this game? Yes, it's time now to play our hit game, What Did the Fed Chief Say? Here's how it works. We'll play a clip of Alan Greenspan's recent testimony before Congress. You tell us what in the heck the Fed chief was saying. Charlie decides if you win or lose, and if you win, you take home a full ball cap. If you lose, well, you can still tell your friends that you talked with an economist. The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. That's a free call. 866-677-3665. Let's meet our first player. It's Phil in Columbia, South Carolina. Phil, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thanks for having me. I love your show.
Thank you very much, Phil. How about comparing and contrasting yourself, briefly, to Alan Greenspan?
Ah, well, Alan and I would share a love of the words. Primarily, the words are elusive and covert.
Can you note any really obvious contrast between you and Mr. Greenspan?
Well, I think I'm better looking than he is.
And that always works on radio.
Yeah, but I also think that he probably has a lot more Yoda-like wisdom than I do.
Phil, very timely reference. Are you ready to play our game?
Sure.
Okay, Phil, get ready. Let's play our first clip.
The housing market in the United States is quite heterogeneous, and it does not have the capacity to move excesses easily from one area to another.
Phil, what did the Fed chief say?
Well, I think what the Fed chief said was that housing development varies by what geographical location you're in. And as a result, if you have a lot of single-family homes that are selling like hotcakes in Boston, they may not sell that fast in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Sure. I think give the man a ball cap.
You want to elaborate?
Sure. It's not a market that you can arbitrage. So basically, let's say we're selling wheat, and it's selling like hotcakes in Boston, and you've got a whole bunch of warehouses in Albuquerque. Anybody would normally put all that wheat on a flatbed truck and send it to Boston, and therefore the prices would settle at some uniform level. Well, you can't do that with houses. If you've got an overheated market in San Francisco, you can't pick up houses in Las Vegas where they're cheaper and put them on a flatbed truck and satiate the excess demand in San Francisco. So because you can't move houses around like you can other consumer goods, you do get these pockets of frothy activity that are not likely to be mediated by normal market activity.
Mm. Phil, have you been tempted to sell any property here in the last few months?
Actually, I bought some property for my daughter. She's in grad school in Clemson University, and got a great deal on a condo and made some money already. We haven't even moved into it yet.
Well, congratulations, Phil. Not only that, but you now have a full ball cap you can sport around the property.
I am so honored.
Thank you.
I'm ready, guys.
You are a winner on the show. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care.
And next, let's go to Jessica, who hails from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Jessica, if you had to characterize your own feelings for Alan Greenspan with one word, what would that word be?
Retire.
Do you want to give us a few more words to explain your one word?
Well, I think it's been long enough, and I'm not sure, like a lot of people are, whether, you know, it's a proficiency in economics or darn good luck.
Let me ask you this, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to play What Did the Fed Chief Say?
I'm ready.
Okay, here comes your clip.
Nationwide banking and widespread securitization of mortgages make it less likely that financial intermediation would be impaired than was the case in prior episodes of regional house price corrections.
Jessica, what did the Fed chief just say?
I have no idea.
Now, Charlie earlier suggested that all players this week go with their gut.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go with your gut on this one?
What
do you think a man that you think should retire might have just said?
Well, it sounded a lot to me like a weatherman telling me we have a 50% chance of rain. Sounded like he wasn't any more sure than I am.
You know what? Jessica, do you think if you heard the clip a second time that you might have an even better gut sense of what he's saying?
Possibly. Could I hear it again?
Let's do it.
Nationwide banking and widespread securitization of mortgages make it less likely that financial intermediation would be impaired than was the case in prior episodes of regional house price corrections.
Jessica, what did the Fed chief say?
Is he talking about the house pricing bubble? I'm not sure.
I like that try, and I will note that I was highly thrown off by the word impaired. It sounds to me like he says impaired, and that really threw me off. Charlie Whelan?
I also had a little trouble with impaired, but the larger message actually somewhat contradicts what we were talking about earlier, but I think I can come around and hopefully reconcile that. He is basically arguing that any regional burst in the bubble, so getting back to this idea of frothy pockets, would be made less severe by the fact that we've now got nationwide banking. So if you go back 50 years ago when everybody in San Francisco was going to the First National Bank of San Francisco, they're holding all the mortgages. So if you get a burst of that local bubble, you also get real trouble with that local bank. So it spills over almost immediately. Now, if you've got Citibank writing mortgages all over the country, they can afford to absorb certain bursts in certain pockets, assuming they've written enough healthy mortgages in other places. So that plus the securitization has the same effect. Even if a bank sells a whole bunch of mortgages in one place, as soon as they turn around and sell them into the financial markets, presumably they're bundled with other mortgages from healthier areas.
Isn't that what Jessica basically said?
Well, she did say something about the housing bubble. So, I mean,
Thank you very much.
I always go with that high school, exactly. You know, taking tests in high school when you haven't read the book is a valuable life skill. Anybody can take a test when you've read the book. But the whole process of repeating words that are in the question and otherwise coming up with things when you know nothing is really something that can often get you through a meeting or other important life exercise.
Jessica, my producers confirmed for me that you largely said in your answer what Charlie was saying. It took Charlie a lot longer to get there, actually. So you are a winner on the show.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks, Charlie, for interpreting my answer for me.
Exactly. Now, I have to say I'm not quite as sanguine because I think there's a second innovation in banking, which is you've got a lot more banks writing mortgages with 5% down. I've even heard of folks with nothing down. So I think if you remember what happened in 1929 with the crash, it wasn't just that stock prices fell. It was that people were so highly leveraged because the margin requirements were so low. Mm. We've effectively moved to a housing market with very low margin requirements. So I think that is something that's potentially quite dangerous for the housing market, not something that the chairman addressed.
Duly noted, and I want to make sure Jessica understands that sense of humor always wins on this show. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you.
Let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin next. Nancy, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you.
Nancy, if you're going to take Alan Greenspan to one place in Milwaukee, where are you taking him?
Probably to the Ale House.
To the Ale House. And why are we headed to the Ale House with the chairman?
Well, he's talked about the housing market, and it's a great place to go to talk about it and have some Milwaukee's finest.
Sounds wonderful. Are you ready to play What Did the Fed Chief Say?
Yes.
Okay, clear the mind. Here's your clip.
For homeowners to realize accumulated capital gains on a residence, a precondition of a speculative market, they must move.
Nancy, what did the Fed Chief say?
I think he's saying that if you want to reap the money you made in the house, you have to be able to move it, sell the house in order to get that money.
Okay, and I will note, Charlie, that the chairman's voice appeared really to reverberate quite a lot at this point, almost like a voice from on high.
Well, the testimony always has the bearing, but yes, we get a special acoustical boost. Well, first, I have to disagree with taking him to the Ale House. I think if you're going to take the Fed chairman to Milwaukee, you take him to the Harley-Davidson factory, because can you imagine Alan Greenspan on a Harley? I mean, that would be the only thing better about this testimony if he rode up to Capitol Hill on a Harley. I mean, the man's image is already godlike, but that would be the final coup.
That's perfect. I love it.
Now, Nancy's answer, Charlie.
Her answer gets a ball cap, her judgment about the Ale House notwithstanding.
Thank you.
And what do you want to add?
I think it was something we talked about earlier, that basically among first primary residences, so people buying homes to live in them, he's arguing basically what we were talking about earlier, that it's hard for that market to get too overheated, because to start speculating, you've literally got to sell your house, take the money, and move somewhere else. And the transaction costs are so high to doing that, it naturally slows down the market. Very different, say, than the stock market, where if you're trading internet stocks, you can flip them two or three times in a day. You can't do that with primary residences. Mm.
Nancy, have you speculated on anything lately?
Not on houses. On stocks, so yes.
Tell me.
Just looking at a few little ones here and there. There's one I was looking at, a little biotech company.
And when you say a little biotech company, can you give me a sense of, well, you can name the company, but give me a sense of what little means to you?
I guess to me it means they're kind of working out of a garage almost. You know, they're small, they got some good people working there, but they're ripe to be taken, they're ripe to be bought in by somebody, but they're still small enough to require venture capital.
Mm. And Nancy, are you the CEO of this company?
No, I wish.
No, but it's her garage.
There you go.
Nancy, congratulations. You too are a winner on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
That's fantastic. Thanks.
And thanks, as always, to our judge, Charlie Whelan, the author of the wonderful book, Naked Economics. Thanks to all of our players in today's game. He's cryptic, he's confusing, occasionally cantankerous, but he's our Fed chief. We hope you'll join us next time for another edition of What Did the Fed Chief Say? And if you missed any part of today's show, or if you want to catch any past Motley Fool radio shows, you can listen online at npr.org.